folks. I'm Mark, and today I'm joined by Landry Smith. Landry, thanks for joining me.
Mark, thanks for having me, man. Sorry, I just like came in hot off of a yawn, but I'm ready to go.
Gotcha. There we go. Well, we can get right into it because we have 11 and a half minutes to talk about video games. So, Landry, you spent a lot of your time lately playing the classics, specifically working your way through kind of the major entries of the NES library. From my understanding of what you've talked about, you hadn't really played many of these growing up, so it's not like a nostalgia thing. So I'm wondering, like, why would you do this to yourself? Why are you playing all these NES games in the year of our Lord 2023? And I know 2022 is a big year for it too, for you as well.
Man, I don't know. It's something about my personality. Like, I was thinking about it when you asked this question, and when I was in my early 20s, I was obsessed with film, like all through high school. And I love like mainstream, like stuff that most, you know, kids in high school would like Quentin Tarantino and, you know, the Coen brothers and, you know, also just like comic book movies and everything. But I wanted to like really understand what kind of made film like the art form and stuff. And I guess maybe some interviews that I had seen with the Coen brothers and Quentin Tarantino got me into watching some of the films that inspired them. And I eventually went back and like watched all of these classic movies. And then I did the same thing for books as well. Like, I'm a big reader, and one of my favorite things to do is read classic literature. And I'm a big gamer as well. And I wanted to understand, especially a fan of Nintendo. And I wanted to understand like what were the roots like what for some of these game designers that I'm, you know, I've been playing all of their games basically my whole life, like Shigeru Miyamoto and a lot of others. I just wanted to see like where it all started. And like you said, I'm not super familiar with the NES catalog, but I did grow up on Mario and Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario Brothers 2 and you know, a handful of other titles that I had before we got our NES.
Gotcha. Nice. So what struck me as you're talking through that is like games ask a lot of you. Like, a movie is the easiest thing to sit and watch in a sense. Books take a little more work. A game is like, is demanding stuff from you. And I feel like these games particularly are pretty challenging and pretty, or like often just really obtuse. Like, how have you pushed through that, especially now, like you've got the modern gaming sensibilities? How have you like overcome that?
Yeah. So this is like my biggest fear when I kind of embarked on this endeavor was like, I'm not that good of a gamer and I don't think I can overcome some of these challenges, but
I mean, I'm there with you too.
So one of the things I realized is that the NES just has like a different language that of like back in the day, games just expected different things from you. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. Some of them are like more of the kind of the way that they sold video games. You know, they didn't have DLCs or microtransactions, but they still had really annoying tendencies to try and like pinch as many pennies out of people as they could. Like, there are certain North American releases where games are just harder in North America because the developers wanted they wanted people to rent the games more than once and not be able to beat them in one night. So Castlevania 3, for instance, is one of those games where the enemies just like, they hit you much harder in the American version than they do in the Japanese version. But you know, a lot of that stuff is just, you kind of, you can figure your ways around that. And a lot of it also is understanding that like these games have patterns, and there's a really cool channel called You Can Beat Video Games that kind of shows you the tips and tricks to beat a lot of these games. So Batman on the NES, for instance, is like considered a really hard game, but if you actually know what you're doing and you go in and you know how to attack every enemy, it's not that hard at all until the very last boss. And that is like extremely brutal.
Gotcha. Interesting. So like, this is even more modern, but like last year I went through a lot of the old, not old, like the 3D Zeldas, like being with Ocarina of Time, kind of worked my way back up and replaying them. It was interesting to me of how like much I got into the mindset where, like, I feel like when I played Twilight Princess for the first time, I had to look up a ton of stuff. But by the time I had played Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, and now at, like, Twilight Princess, like, I just didn't need to look up stuff anymore. Part of that was because I'd played it before and could remember some stuff, but it would also been like 15 years. And so just like the shared, like the different language of it makes a lot of sense. I do still think that, like, I asked the question because I need to be convinced of this, of like, why should I play NES games? Partly because of like that challenge is really intimidating and they're really confusing and I don't like not knowing what to do. That like language of it makes a lot of sense.
You have to be able to put aside your pride also and look things up on the internet for NES games, because one of the things we don't have in the modern era, at least unless you're like a crazy collector like me, is the instruction manuals were really important to the gameplay back then in the NES era, sometimes in the Super Nintendo era, but they got away from that more. But like, there's a lot of stuff in the original Legend of Zelda, for instance. If you don't have that map that comes with the game, like, that is your guide to kind of where everything is, or like what to look for and explore. Like in modern games, you just press select. But in the Legend of Zelda NES, like, you had that physical map like out in front of you and you could go and search things. And I mean, it's a really pivotal part of the game. And I kind of like some of that, the idea of that too. Like, there's another cool instance in Star Tropics where the game came with like a letter. I think it was a letter, and you get to a part of the game and it's like, it wants you to pour water on the letter, and there's a hidden message in there to push forward. So like the idea of physical manuals and stuff being a part of the gameplay was just kind of ingrained in the NES era. And that is a necessity, but you know, our modern solution is just to look it up online. We don't have kids to talk to on the playground and, you know, put our collective brains together. And the other thing you got to realize too is that, you know, these games weren't designed to be, you know, 1 hour playthroughs, and the reality is, if you know what you're doing, you can beat a lot of these games in 1 hour.
Sure,
but they're supposed to stick with kids for, you know, a whole year until their next birthday or the next Christmas. So they still wanted them to be those 40-hour experiences. So, you know, that we have in our modern AAA game development. But the cool thing about it now, you go and you revisit it, you look up a YouTube video that may take an hour to watch, and then you play the game, and in 2 hours you've beaten an entire game and feel like you have a pretty good, you know, a pretty good grip on what made it special.
Huh, man. Yeah. The tie to like the physical media is fascinating. And like, I feel like, man, I kind of wish we didn't lose that.
It's one of my favorite things about the old days of video games.
Yeah. Like, I know like Tunic from last year has a really cool twist on that, but that's all digital. Like, there's something that would be like just especially cool of it being still physical in a way. But I do enjoy the like communal aspect of it, of like you're saying, of even just kind of looking stuff up on the internet, of like, yeah, kind of the shared headspace knowledge of these games that have been around for 30 years now.
Yeah.
Or more. But, well, nice. So a lot of people have access to these games. If you have Switch Online, you have pretty much immediate access to a bunch of these NES games. In your view, what I would love to hear is like, why should someone boot it up? Like, if, kind of come from your experience, but like, yeah, any more you want to say on what they have to offer?
Yeah, I think that these games are not going to be for everyone, and I totally understand that. But one of the things about going back to old games that I hear all the time that maybe gets, it doesn't get on my nerves. I just like, I want to push back on it a little bit.
Sure.
Is that like, these games are outdated, or, you know, it's unplayable now. Like, the mechanics are so much different. And one of the things that has really pushed me to think about that lately is like GoldenEye, for instance. Like, everybody will say that the mechanics are completely terrible now, but they're not though. Like, they work extremely well. They're just completely different than what modern first person controllers are. or first person shooters are. But it was a different era, and like every other first person shooter is like built on the bones of that, but it still feels like a really cool and interesting arcade shooter. You just have to spend the time to get to know the mechanics. And once you understand the mechanics of the game, like the game is built very well around those mechanics. So, and that's kind of the way a lot of the great NES games are. Now, if you're playing anything on the NES online library, you're going to come across some real stinkers and some real duds. But like, it, like for me, and we didn't mention this at the top, but like, I'm also a huge like top 10, top 100 list guy. This project I've been working on, I basically like detailed out every top 100, top 10, top 50 list on the internet that I could find on the NES. And I like kind of just Excel spreadsheeted the heck out of it and came up with a definitive top. Really, I came up with top 30 NES games, but I'm only making content about the top 10.
Sure.
But I played all of the top 25. I think there's a couple in that top 30 that I need to finish still. But
yeah,
every single game in that top 25 list is mechanically sound. And you go back and you give the time to it and you start to see where the developers' heads were at. And some of them have like really cool stories behind them as well. Just like they cranked these games out in 1 year, or with Kirby's Adventure, like literally HAL Laboratories is like in the middle of going bankrupt, and they went to Sakurai and they were like, listen, Kirby's Dream Land just came out. It was a hit for us as a company. We need you to make an NES game, even though it's 1992 and the Super Nintendo's huge, because that's the only station in our building that hasn't been seized by the court already. And so they made an NES game like in a few months, and the development team was Shigeru Miyamoto, Sakurai, Iwata, and I mean, as you might expect, Kirby's Adventure is an amazing game.
With
some really cool concepts for the first time, like Kirby having the copy ability for the first time. There's just some cool stories behind the NES that I've found as I'm playing through, that I'm really happy that I've given this a shot, and it's been more rewarding, I think, for me as a player, just experiencing these games for the first time, than I thought it would be.
Nice. Man, that's cool to hear. That's okay. Yeah, I want to put that into practice. So we're a little over time, but I got time. You got time. Hopefully everyone else has time. But like, we had the obvious answers to this question, but what are some like other must play NES games you'd recommend?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would say first, DuckTales is, if you like platformers, 2D platformers at all, that game is awesome. And it's a unique game in that it's actually like almost, even though like the mechanics are platform based, it's really built like an arcade game and like a high score game almost.
Okay.
So, you know, you're almost compelled to, once you figure out how to beat it, which even though everyone will tell you it's easy, it still takes, you know, a few runs to get through it, I think, at least it did for me. But again, I'm not that great of a video game player. You want to boot it right back up and see if you can, you know, collect more treasure and increase your score, so to speak. So that's a really fun one. I think the Castlevania games have really impressed me a lot. Okay. I mentioned how hard Castlevania 3 is,
sure,
and it is hard. I actually like Castlevania 1 a lot better, and that is a game that I used to hate because I didn't understand the mechanics that it wanted me to embrace, and that is that it gets a little slower paced. It reminds me a whole lot of like Dark Souls or Bloodborne, where you need to wait and understand the enemy's attack pattern before you can, you know, figure out how to best to defeat it. But you also really need to use the items to your advantage in that game as well and understand what every item does. And so, you know, because of all of those elements, you do have to give yourself to that game a little bit and, you know, run through it, die, practice. But it's a very rewarding experience. And it's actually something I would consider like tough but fair, where previously I would have considered it like just a broken mess. And that was one of the first moments, I think, playing through some of the NES classics where I was like, oh, I'm the problem. This game's not the problem. It just wants something from me that I wasn't willing to give it or willing to put into it.
Interesting. Well, nice. Well, Landry, thank you for sharing your experience, sharing your insight. But finally, we've got to know, what are you playing now?
I am playing Castlevania 3.
Oh, my goodness.
Over and over and over again, because I can't beat it.
Incredible. Well, I am swinging back around to Sea of Stars, see if I can beat that. Well, Landry, thank you for joining me. Where else are you at on the internet? You mentioned a project.
Yeah, well, that is going to hopefully be finished by the summer of next year. I've got, I'm scripting out every video and kind of learning how to edit video and stuff. And hopefully I'll have a YouTube channel to present eventually. I've already got a couple of those bagged. I got 8 more to go. But you can find me now on Twitter. I'll be updating that. I am at Soft Iconoclast.
Well, very nice. Well, thank you all for listening in. You can follow us on the major podcasting services. You can find us on the proper socials at 11.5 minutes and let us know, how many NES games have you played this year? Is it more than Landry? Was it more than 30? But that's all the time we have for today. Thanks. Bye.